Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings right here on MSG+. It's Gil Alexander. Thanks for hanging with us tonight. Matt Brown is here. Kelly Bidlin. We're watching baseball. Yeah, that's what we're doing. We got one live bet in earlier. I jumped in on the Dodgers. We all have pre-flop bets. Well, some of us have pre-series bets. Matt has a pre-flop bet on the over. It's 1-0 Rays over the Dodgers, 2 down in the bottom of the second.
What do they call it? Snell's dealing?
Dealing.
He's dealing.
5 up, 5 down. 4 strikeouts.
4 of them being strikeouts.
Yeah. Tony Gonsolin only recorded 5 outs, but 4 were by strikeout. He hit his over strikeout prop. And Snell now 2 away from hitting his here in the bottom of the second, and he faces Cody Bellinger.
If he keeps painting the black with 97-mile-an-hour fastballs like that, he's probably going to get there pretty soon.
Someone check Snell's pulse. He is just as calm as could be thus far in this game. But the Randy Arozarena 1-out solo shot in the first is what has put the Rays up on top in this ball game, and so far anyway, we're still in the second inning. For goodness sake, we're almost an hour into this ball game. We're 53 minutes in and we're still in the second inning, but it's 1-0. Yes.
When you look at those stats, doesn't it make you funny? And doesn't it make you laugh? It's kind of funny whenever you see that Cody Bellinger has one home run in the postseason, and it just happened to be the night that Kelly bet that they wouldn't get an RBI.
The Kelly fade his shoulder bet.
Yeah. Shoulder's fine.
Blake Snell, strikeout number 5. 5 out of his 6 recorded outs by K. His strikeout prop was 5.5 for the night. Again, sometimes the best bets are the bets you don't make. Sometimes they're also the worst that you don't make. These are easy night after night.
And it's the thing that we talk about that, you know, and why we bring them up on the program and why we bring them up when we talk about football and everything as well is because sometimes the most EV bets aren't necessarily on the actual, you know, total and money line. If we're talking about baseball or spread or whatever it might be in football, some of these other ones are just completely, you know, look, they don't spend as much time on these prop bets as they do these, because they understand where the money is pouring. The money is coming in on the total. The money's coming in on the money line, you know? And so these props sometimes don't get as much attention as they should get, or maybe kind of get thrown up haphazardly. And, you know, if you can identify those, you can certainly supplement what you're doing with the rest of your bets by getting in on some of those. But yeah, I mean, we looked at that. We both were kind of, especially the Snell one. I mean, maybe not so much the Gonsolin one, because again, that went, you ran pure on that one. If you had the over, you ran pretty pure on that. I mean, especially the Snell one, we're saying like, this guy went 4 2/3 last time, had 9.
Just to flesh out what you were saying though. Spreads, totals, money lines are the big three, the holy trinity of bets. That's what most people will talk about. And what Matt's referring to is the derivative bets, like props, during some of these games. Let's take it to a different sport, though. The NFL is the most calibrated in terms of the lines. In other words, by the time the games go off on a Sunday, those markets are so efficient. And obviously, if you have a standalone World Series game, you're not, you know, there's no particular usual, you know, unless your numbers, you believe in your numbers better. Those are bet pretty and pretty, you know, well and tenderized to the point where there's not going to be any mistakes. Let's put it that way. You may be right or wrong, but it's not a bookmaker mistake. Contrast that with a sport like college basketball, where you have 300 plus D1 teams. And on a Saturday, Friday night, Ivy League, but then on a Saturday when it's like a full slate of games, there's no way they can get that many college basketball games correct online. Right. So the best college basketball bettors rely on that kind of thing.
And bet all the small conferences and bet all the different things like that. And I tried that about 7 years ago, and it just, again, I'm one of those guys that likes to watch the sports that, you know, I like to watch the sports that I bet on. I like to be immersed in that. And I just didn't have it in me to watch the Prairie League, you know, basketball and stuff like that. There are guys that make a killing. And make a killing doing it.
Well, I think we reckon, listen, the biggest advantage we have as sports bettors is we get to bet what we want while the bookmakers have to put out lines for everything. But knowing what you're good at and knowing what will not be sustainably good, whether it's for the reason Matt just stated, I just don't like watching all this stuff all day, or you just don't have a knack for it, you'll go a long way towards being successful if you can figure out what you're good at and know, just as importantly, what you're not good at. And there's no shame in that, because there's plenty of things out there to bet. By the way, Rays now take their chops at Dylan Floro here to start the third. Oh, no, it's Alex Wood. Pardon me. So Floro only faced the one batter to end the second, and now the Dodgers go to Alex Wood here to start the third. So the Dodgers are already on their third pitcher to face Meadows, Lau, and Margot.
Yeah, because he's getting lefty-lefty and then righty, and then if for whatever reason another guy got on, then he would get Wendell, so he'd get another lefty as well.
Well, strikeout for Wood to start things off as he retires Austin Meadows. So there's that to start the inning. Was that Meadows or was that Lau? Where am I? Am I correct in the order?
That was Meadows.
Yeah. That was Meadows, yeah. So Meadows is out for the first out of the inning. As the Dodgers try to get through an inning clean for the first time tonight.
The graphic is off. Meadows is a left-handed hitter.
Yeah, that's what was confusing. Brandon Lau coming up now for the Rays. 1-0 in a game that looked like it could have an explosion of runs in the top of the first, but the Dodgers were able to escape a first and second jam. If you can call it a jam in the first, also a first and second jam in the second. Only the Arosarena homer here is holding up for the scoreboard. What's the line right now?
So we're sitting at 143 for the Rays, probably because of this.
Yeah,
right,
two
here.
Outs. Little number, as Vin Scully used to say, from Lau, that Wood fielded. I love when they say a pitcher fielded his position well. And so two down real quick for the Dodgers, again, trying to get out unscathed for the first time tonight in any one of their innings as Manuel Margot heads to the plate.
So 143, minus 143 on the Rays, plus 114 on the Dodgers. That live total down to 6.5. But this is kind of the way that these totals have gone in these games so far, is like tick down, tick down, tick down, tick down, and then the games seem to explode in the fifth and sixth, you know, inning or something like that. So again, I won't be worried about my 7.5 until we get into the, you know, about the seventh inning in this one, because these teams have not really have not been held in check in these later innings really at all.
But I will say this: if it's a 1-0 game or any one run game late, all the pressure's on the Rays. They're going to have to just be pristine out of the bullpen, because obviously the Dodgers can close them out tonight, and the Rays will feel that. They are human beings. They will feel that. They want a bigger cushion here in this ballgame. By the way, 2-0 pitch coming from Wood to Margot as he falls behind Manuel on this. Manuel takes right down the pipe, 92-mile-per-hour fastball, 2-1. Let me ask you what I was going to ask. I mentioned this as Paul Sporo was leaving. I'll send it out to both of you. Of all the rules that were adopted in this truncated 60-game season, by the way, fly out to center field, Cody Bellinger flags it down, running to his left, 3-up, 3-down for the Dodgers.
And we Kelly, here's your 112. You said you wanted 110-plus.
You ain't Kelly? You get a better number?
Yeah, but where are we at in the order?
I'm waving the flag, 112. You said you wanted 110 or better.
No, I'm going to wait. Chris Taylor up next.
This guy. Now he wants 120.
I want 124.
That's right.
Maybe next inning, Matt.
No, well, I will say this in Kelly's defense. You are getting the bottom of the Dodgers order here. You're getting Taylor Pollock and Barnes. So he is doing this correctly. If he is to do this starting, if they were to go down 1-2-3, the perfect time would get in down 1-0 at the beginning of the following
inning. Plus, it's another inning of Blake Snell to work, give that arm some work.
That's right.
So.
And here's the thing about Blake Snell. Like, we see this with these guys. They get to a certain point and then sort of hit that wall.
Like I said, I mean, he struck out 9 last time out, but only went 4 2/3 innings. You know,
that's right.
So that's the other thing about these high strikeout pitchers. You throw a lot of pitches because you're striking guys out. So I mean, you end up getting your pitch count on up there, and you know, I mean, he's been almost perfect tonight. But I mean, it will eventually catch up with him. He's just not one of these guys that typically goes real deep into games.
I mentioned this with Sporo on the way out. This has nothing to do with betting, but I'm just curious. When MLB adopted the funky 60-game schedule this year, and they adopted a new set of rules. First of all, universal DH. Relief pitchers had to face 3 batters unless they ended an inning. And perhaps most notably, extra innings, runner starts at second base to start the inning.
Yeah.
Which of those, if not all of those, if none of those, which, how many, would you like to see continue with baseball into next year?
If we're power ranking them, universal DH for sure. Nobody wants to see a pitcher hit. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't. they don't practice hitting anymore because it's negative EV for them to practice batting, right?
Have you heard like, one person say, man, I really miss it?
I know. I mean, like
when a pitcher takes his hat.
Yeah, the old school baseball guys go, oh no, it brings in so much strategy and managing and in the NL. And it's like, I mean, come on. Like it's in one league, it doesn't happen. Just make it a thing universally. Nobody wants to see pitchers hit. Two, I actually don't mind the guys being at second base. Like we had a truncated season.
Yeah.
So let's assume we're playing let's say they do 140 next year or whatever it might be, trying to like get a season starting and whatnot. NBA is proposing 72, so they're going to try to shave some games off and whatever. So let's assume that they play 140. So in game 61, do we need an 18 inning game between like two teams that are under 500? I don't see.
We do not.
I don't see the reason in it, yeah. Right? So maybe get rid of it, which again, they did when you get to the playoffs or whatever. But like during the regular season, do we need these 17, 18 inning marathon games? I don't really see the reason for them. Do you?
I do not. I really don't. I'm curious what you're going to say about the third one, though.
I'm okay with them being able to switch pitchers at will.
At will.
So yeah,
you don't want a 3-minute minimum batter.
No, I'm okay with them being able to switch pitchers.
It's going to slow down the game tremendously.
It will once again.
It's been interesting in this postseason because there have been situations where definitely teams have you like, oh, they would have made a pitching change there and they just got.
If you want to do what you did with the second base runner thing, make it a thing during the regular season and in the postseason, since that's your kind of reward for making it to the postseason that you can.
Yeah.
Switch and do whatever you want to.
There is a knock for the Dodgers. The Dodgers get their first base runner, their first hit off of Blake Snell to lead off the bottom of the third, Chris Taylor with a single. And the Dodgers have a man on with nobody.
Kelly Dunn missed his chance. Minus 106 now.
Kelly Bidlin.
Dunn missed his chance.
You lose.
Maybe.
If the next bat, if Pollock goes yard, Kelly's going to be so upset here at this point. AJ Pollock to the plate now against Blake Snell. I was one of those guys that the relief pitcher rule of you got to face minimum three batters. I immediately was like, we're changing the entire game. What are we doing? Then when they did the thing where they're like, okay, we're going to start extra innings with a runner on second. Then I was really like, oh my God, we cannot do this. They were switching the whole game. What was the third one? Oh, universal DH. Yeah. I didn't even care about it. I was like, fine, that's fine. That one didn't bother me. But I was definitely, for the first two, I was like, I don't like this. I ended up liking everything.
Yeah.
Like I just did in the end, I was like, this is all great.
Yeah.
I don't love the guy starting at second in extra innings. I guess with Matt saying if you did it in the regular season, I wouldn't mind it as much. I mean, I would say in general, I'm for any rule in baseball that speeds up the game. So that does. It's a little kind of wacky to me. But the other I'm fine with the pitcher has to face three batters. And then absolutely universal DH.
No one needs to see hitters. I mean, pitchers hit. It's such a joke. And then off the top of my head, I can't remember the stat, but like from 2015 to 2019, there was like a higher number than you would expect pitchers that got hurt while batting, right? Like had like an oblique or whatever, or running to first and
terrible.
Like pulled a hamstring.
I don't know why I'm laughing. It was just funny to me.
Yeah. It was just a number that was higher than you think it was. And it's like, okay, you pay these pitchers $20, $30 million a year, and then they're going to hurt themselves swinging to get out. Because I mean, that's basically, they all hit 100.
This is the thing we hear on Primetime Action. Betting on baseball have a better chance of attracting people to baseball than the actual broadcast of the baseball game attracting young people to the sport.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is an issue for baseball because, you know, it's sort of like Prince, the late great Prince. He used to have an army of his people that if some of his music appeared on YouTube, he would immediately have his guys take it down. So there was a whole generation of kids who had never really been exposed to Prince before, and he took the position when he was with us of if I'm not getting paid, it can't be out there. And that was such and I love Prince, but it was such a short-sighted viewpoint. It's like, dude, do you want more fans or not? Like, do you want more people exposed to your music? Mm. And I feel like it's sort of the baseball equivalent of that, forgive the dirty analogy, where it's like, you got to attract another generation.
This thought that, like, there, you have to do things the way that they've been done strictly because they've been done one way for a long time.
Yeah.
Is so ridiculous. It's the same thing as we keep going. And like, I'm not saying this has to be implemented today or whatever, but you know, there's a constant debate over robo umpires, right? And like, you look and the human element, if we have the technology to just get something right every time.
Don't get me started on that.
Right?
Yeah.
We talk about this with the French Open with tennis, yes. Right? If we have the technology to just get something right every single time, why do we say, because we haven't been doing that for, you know why we hadn't been doing that? Because the technology wasn't there 100 years ago.
We didn't have it.
Yeah, the technology wasn't there 100 years ago. No. Like, it is there now. So, like, to sit here and have a guy, like, this is one of the things whenever you would, I'm sure you have done this, like, along the way. 5-6 years ago, you're literally handicapping a baseball game, and it's like, well, this guy has a wide strike zone, or this guy has a high strike zone. There's no such thing. Yeah. There is a strike zone.
Yeah.
It is a finite area that is defined as a strike zone. Like, a guy, you can't have, there's no such thing as a high strike zone or a wide strike zone, because that means it's a ball. Like, I mean, like, there's a strike zone. It's a defined area.
You know what I'm just so tickled by? Of all the things we talked about tonight, this is what got him fired up the most.
Fired up, Matt Brown's fantastic. Yeah. And you're right. I'm like, where did this come from? This is kind of random. Awesome.
I was just like, hey, let's talk about baseball rules. I didn't expect much.
It's a ball kill. You can't have a high strike zone.
Valid point, though, right? I mean, like,
no, you're right. You're 100%
valid point.
Right.
But, like, I mean,
but the umpire lobby is not letting that happen.
Oh no, I mean, it's just, you know, what, the guy can still stand back there. He just gets buzzed. It's ball or strike, and he just goes like this, or, you know, whatever.
Guy,
like,
can stand back.
Yeah,
there.
He can be back there. He can be a figurehead or whatever. It doesn't. I don't care. Still pay the guy money.
He
just,
he's got a beeper.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just go. Okay, the ball. Strike.
Just to the point here, and listen, I love baseball. We all love baseball. I'm not, this is all for the love of baseball, but as we've been having this entire discussion and you're wondering, hey, I wonder what's going on in the baseball game. Nothing has happened.
Yes.
There's still a runner at
exactly
first.
Nothing.
It's 1-0. There's still nobody out. It is a 1-2 pitch coming to AJ Pollock, but kids aren't going to be, aren't going to be dazzled by this, right? So you have to be betting. That's why we're here. Hopefully they get into this side of things. By the way, there is a shot field. Oh, caught. Nice catch there. Joey Wendell making a stab on a line drive hit there by AJ Pollock. Looked for a second to see if Taylor was lingering off first, but he decided not to throw it. Taylor got back. So one down, one man out. There's your bit of action right there. But if it's not a betting show like ours, because I think this will absolutely attract folks to baseball. But beyond that, they have got to figure out a way.
Yeah.
And by the way, they, like every other sport, has sort of shunned betting for all these years and begrudgingly, right, have sort of accepted as this has gone on. Hopefully we've turned that corner with the striking down of PASPA being ruled unconstitutional in 2018. But they got to figure out a way. And I'm not sure the moves that they've made have gone far enough.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly at least is a step in the right direction.
Sure.
Right? I mean, like, at least they're shaving, I think, whatever, it's average of 18 minutes or something off of a game, which is a lot.
But they can't roll it back is what we're saying.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, like, you're that's a lot. I mean, when you're talking about where we're at in, especially the younger generation, Gil, they grew up on the second screen and the phone and, like, unlike
screens,
us.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, and so if you don't have that attention, it's easy for that attention to start going elsewhere and stuff. And so, like, they need quickness. They need the things like that. And there are people rolling their eyes right now listening to us say this, but this is about talking about the future of this. Yeah, us old people are still going to watch this, for the next however long, but you still have to continue to get new fans.
I mean, to be, bring this back to something you brought up at the beginning of the segment and then this conversation about people betting things where you can find an edge. I mean, it was 5-6 years ago when I started to get tired of watching baseball every day during the summer and nothing else on. I stopped really betting it much. And CFL, when they started putting games up more on ESPN, that became a lot more attractive to me to watch. I knew a lot of players from their college days, after a couple years was starting betting it more. And now it's something I bet regularly. And it's something that it takes up a lot of my summer betting attention, that in the NBA. And baseball usually goes by the wayside a bit.
I mean, I still bet baseball and I still love betting baseball, but I've had to change the way I've bet baseball over the years. I mean, you have to do that. By the way, ground ball that Joey Wendell made a great play on a short hop. He does get Austin Barnes on his way to first. Choi makes the swipe tag, but Chris Taylor does advance to second. Look at this play by Wendell.
That's a ridiculous.
Nice play. And there's the swipe tag that gets Barnes, but Taylor now at second with two down, so the Dodgers have their first runner in scoring position. With the top of the lineup, Mookie Betts coming to the plate against Snell. So this is the first little bit of trouble for the Rays in this ballgame. Rays up 1-0, live line.
-150 on the Rays, +120 on the Dodgers. 6.5 is your live total. Run line, +1 on the Dodgers, -121, -1 on the Rays, -106.
Snell deals to Mookie Betts. And the pitch, strike high. 97. How about 97? Just casually.
Just right in there.
In the third. Yeah.
That's only his 35th pitch right there. So he is on pace. Should he be economic here with Mookie Betts to, you know, get into the fifth or sixth if he continues on.
Betts quietly not having a very good World Series.
No.
5 of 23. Could redeem himself big time here, though. We'll forget all about that if he knocks in Taylor. That's high. It's going to be one ball and one strike here. As Snell deals to Mookie Betts, only 36 pitches in here in the bottom of the third with two down for Blake Snell. We will update everything that goes on in this baseball game, see if Kelly will finally bite and play the Dodgers. He's waiting for his moment. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. We'll do some fantasy questions as well with you through the hour right here. VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings. VIP material, DraftKings VIPs enjoy exclusive benefits, enhanced promotional offers, top-tier customer support, access to personalized contests, and much more. Visit DraftKings.com/VSIN to learn more. Plus, everyone can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers can get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. Sign up with promo code VSIN to claim your exclusive offer. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Got to be over 21, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. Skill Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. It's VSIN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings. Mookie Betts strikes out, so the Rays get out of the inning unscathed. 1-0 Rays as we head to the fourth.
140 on the Dodgers.
Where are we at?
140.
All right, might have to get in on that.
But the Rays are coming up.
Oh, well, I'm going to wait.
Okay, but you won't get 140.
You won't get 140. You'll get something less than that.
I know.
Okay. 177.
I'm a gambler, Matt, but I'm not that big of a gambler.
177 on the Rays, 140. On the Dodgers. Kelly now wants 390 on the Dodgers before he's going to get
it. I got 245 in my pocket. Yeah, you know, so come on.
I know.
We're starting the fourth inning, and Joey Wendell's facing Alex Wood. I'm easily distracted. I'm a child like that. And we have multiple screens here in this beautiful studio here at the South Point Hotel Casino. And up in a random screen up at the top here, there's a football game being played. By the way, that's a line shot to Justin Turner, one down. In the top of the fourth, there's a football game, a random football game, and it's the Generals versus the Conquerors. And I legit had to ask Kelly, forget what teams those are. What league is that?
Yeah, this was spotted by Rob Moreno downstairs. This is, I quickly Googled this. This is the Spring League, and I'm double checking the date of this. This is from Alabama.com, AL.com. All right. The Spring League. Kicks off today, and I think this is the Alamo Dome that this is being played in.
Here's all I want to know.
I can't tell you much
more. That is,
do we have lines on this or not?
Roberto Moreno downstairs.
That's right.
That is Roberto Moreno.
Roberto Moreno. Yeah. Do we have lines? DraftKings not dealing with
No. Okay. I don't think they knew it was happening.
Yeah, I don't think
they knew.
They're not dishing out lines.
We didn't know, so I doubt they knew.
Doesn't exist.
There was also a NASCAR event that was supposed to take place tonight, but it got rained out again.
Was that a delayed Texas race from this weekend?
I believe so. Delayed from this weekend, delayed again tonight because of rain. We'll go at noon tomorrow, so we will not have on the show.
I know that you know clearly that Joey Logano is in the Final Four already.
Of course.
Of course, you know that.
I was trying to figure out the guys downstairs. I was like, we might have to make a call to get Jeff Pugliandro or someone on here to talk to NASCAR if we've got a live race, you know?
Alex Wood with another strikeout here of Willie. Who was that we just struck out? We'll tell you momentarily, but that's a strikeout. Two down now for the Dodgers. Alex Wood, who retired the side 1-2-3 last inning, getting it done again.
That was Adames, yeah.
That was Adames, yeah.
I mean, there was a time when Alex Wood was a thing.
There was a half a season, and I want to say it was the first half of, it was either 2017 or 2018, one of those two seasons. The first half before the All-Star break, Alex Wood's stats,
it's like unhittable. Yeah.
Were out of control.
Yeah, he was like unhittable for a half a season.
Yes, yeah. For a half a season it was, and if you looked at his advanced stats, it was just this guy was, you know, Cy Young. Mm. And right now he's pitching like that anyway. Through his stint here in this game, he's the third Dodgers pitcher of this game, and this looks like the guy that might go a long way for Davey Roberts at this point.
It look, and, you know, former starter, so the guys, you know, he's done that. So Gonsolin goes 1 2/3, gives up 3 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks, and a home run, which is the lone run in this game. Throws 48 pitches. Then Floro comes in, only goes 1/3 of an inning, but strikes out the guy that he was brought in to strike out on 3 pitches. He was done, and now Wood has been in, completes the 2 innings right here with a strikeout, 3 strikeouts. Outs for him, 20 pitches in.
3-pitch strikeout to Kevin Kiermaier. And now, Kelly, we are going to the bottom of the fourth. It is 1-0, and you're getting Seager and Turner to start off this half inning. So this is your moment. Seager, Turner, and Muncy.
But you're getting 115.
But you're getting 115.
I'm still in.
Yeah. Less than 140. That's how you do it, Kelly. That's the spot to do it. You got 12 cents better than I did, but that's a great spot to get in. 2-3-4.
-143 on the Rays, +115 on the Dodgers. That live total all the way down to 5.5 right now. And that is largely because Blake Snell, 3 innings, 1 hit, no walks, 6 Ks, and has only thrown 39 pitches.
Yeah, I can tell you, this insertion of Alex Wood, the way he's pitching right now, feels pretty good for the Dodgers right now, the way he is going. Obviously, 2 innings from Alex Wood, but 6 up, 6 down. Can't get better than that. We'll come back. We're 2 of us in now on in-game. Matt, not budging. Not at all.
Not budging.
But he has a pre-flop. And we'll do a little fantasy questioning still this hour. Coming back, VSiN's primetime action, powered by DraftKings, right here at MSG Plus. It's a big week here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we have some great news for our MSG viewers and serious listeners starting right now. You can watch every VSiN show for free on VSiN.com all week long. Watch Follow the Money at 7 a.m. Eastern, A Numbers Game with myself, Gil Alexander, at 10 a.m. Eastern, The Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi, My Guys in the Desert, and our full 14 hours of live daily sports betting programs. It's all free 24-7 on VSiN.com this week. And while you're there, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer, including the daily best bets email and our point spread weekly betting guide. It's the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Head to VSiN.com now to start watching for free. By the way, we missed the fact that Blake Snell already exceeded his total on strikeouts, and now he's up to 7 already. His number was 5.5. So both starters soar.
I mean,
pitcher.
Ease. Those are the best bets whenever you're early in the game, you're already home. You're sitting there feeling all good about yourself. Yeah, feeling all good about yourself, as you should.
As you should. What's the number right here now with 1 out in the bottom of the fourth, 1-0 Rays?
-165 on the Rays, +130 on the Dodgers. That live total down to 5.5. Rightfully so if Blake Snell continues to pitch like this.
Dodgers have only had 1 base runner tonight.
Yeah.
And that was the last inning when Chris Taylor got on board, got all the way to second, but that's where it stalled for the Dodgers. This is Justin Turner now after Snell struck out Corey Seager. to start off this inning. So Snell, very calm and composed out there, nursing the 1-0 lead, but the Dodgers really haven't threatened all that much just last inning for a minute there with a runner at second.
Not at all, yeah. Actually.
Well, they had the one runner in scoring position, but it was with two out, and they couldn't cash it home. Here's Turner now, the 2-1 pitch from Snell to Turner. Swing and a miss, 97 high. Hard to lay off that high fastball.
Looking, that is some good-looking stuff.
Dodgers look flummoxed. Flummoxed.
Everyone knows that Justin Turner's got a high strike zone, you know, Gil, so he's got to swing at that.
Two balls, two strike now. One down. Bottom of the fourth. We have a fantasy football questions coming up right here on Primetime Action. The pitch, he swung at a ball at his shin. Two down as the throw goes to first on the drop ball by the catcher. Eight strikeouts.
Let's you brought it up, so let's talk about the teams we like the best in the NFL right now.
Yes, let's do that. So I did this on the radio side. I asked my guest was Drew Dinsick this morning, and I said, "All right, I'm not going to ask you for all your power rankings, but just give me your top tier group of teams." And he gave me seven, and left. For me, the seven was interesting. He included one that I didn't expect and omitted two that I didn't expect. So I'm curious what your top tier is.
So I have a 5-3-3 right now.
All right.
It's kind of where I would. So at the top, Ravens, Chiefs, Bucks, Steelers, Packers.
Ravens, Chiefs, Bucks, Steelers, Packers.
The next three of Titans, Seahawks, Cardinals, and then the next three of Bills, Saints, Rams.
Cardinals got into your second tier.
Cardinals got into the second tier because I think they're kind of in that same tier with the Seahawks. Like, they can outscore you each week. It's just, and the reason the Seahawks aren't in that top tier is because exactly what we saw in this game against the Cardinals. This defense can't stop anybody. So any high-powered offense against this Seattle team is going to be able to put up points, and it's going to be solely on Russell Wilson to go out there and single-handedly outscore the other team every single time they take the field.
Repeat that if you would, because we don't have a graphic for it, so people want to hear that again. First tier was?
Ravens, Chiefs, Bucks, Steelers, Packers.
So three AFC, two NFC.
Titans, Seahawks, Cardinals in that next tier.
In the third?
And then Bills, Saints, Rams in that third tier.
Interesting that the Bills got into your third tier.
Well, so this is where the third tier are teams that could easily just fall completely off or take a big step forward. Mainly the Saints that could take a big step forward if they can get back healthy on offense. And then at that point, if you have a complete team, we talked about it. I mean, they're still winning games despite not fielding, hadn't fielded a team all year. Like, they have not fielded a healthy team on either defense or offense all year long. They're still winning games. But how long can that really be sustainable, right, without your playmakers? And so that's why I still have them down here.
So Drew Dinsick, who was my guest on VEASAN this morning, and is a very, very insightful football bettor, he had a top tier of seven.
Okay.
And what I was fascinated by was that he included the Rams in that seven. And more glaringly, because when he told me the seven, I immediately went to, who did he just omit? And the first team that was glaring to me was he didn't have the Ravens in his top seven, which I thought was very interesting. The other one was he didn't have the Saints in his top seven. So the Ravens was the first one where I was like, and you had the Ravens in number one tier, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And the Saints, those were the two omissions.
What was the reasoning behind the Ravens?
I wish I could tell you and do him justice. But I'm not saying that tongue in cheek. I'm saying I can't remember what his exact wording was. But the Ravens was, you know, what you would expect.
Uh-huh.
They are a team where Lamar Jackson is not playing as well as he has in previous seasons. And I will say this about the Ravens myself. I mean, you know, when you look at this game between the Steelers and the Ravens this week, that game is completely different based on how it starts. So if the Steelers take a lead in that game, the Ravens just have shown no ability to come from behind in football games, the way that they're set up. Conversely, if they take a lead, they're great front runners. So they're a really tough handicap in that respect. I'm not sure I would have omitted them for my top tier, but because to me, they're still among the elite.
Yeah. I mean, so if we love these advanced statistics. I mean, if you look at Football Outsiders right now, DVOA rankings on defense, Baltimore, the third best overall defense in the league, according to their rankings. Now, this is the offense, like you said, a little bit down from where they were before over on Pro Football Focus. They're 14th overall over on DVOA. They're actually way down at 19th. And so they're certainly not being incredibly efficient on offense, but I think a lot of that has to do with the way that they just run this offense. It's like, I don't necessarily agree how they run it all the time, but that defense alone, I think, is enough to put them at least in that upper tier right there. And then just because it also changes the way a team has to defend this team, which is the other difference, I think, that is so that maybe we don't really put into our handicapping, but like they play unlike any other team in the league, right? With the way the Lamar Jackson, what the element that he brings. And so you really do have to scheme completely different for that team every single week when you play them, as opposed to all these other teams that you're playing. And so I think that does at least add a little bit of element, a little element in their favor, but I understand why he wouldn't do it. Those were not in order, but that was just kind of like the top tier. Yeah. Like groups and things like that. I think the Saints can take a big step forward as soon as they get back healthy.
Yeah. And they haven't had Michael Thomas for all of their games. Yeah. It's been choppy in terms of his appearances this year. So anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Definitely.
How people have it at this point in the year. And next week and the following week, it's kind of a midway season. So we'll do some mid-season stuff right here on Primetime Action. Coming back, we'll wrap it up right here on MSG+.